Welcome to the Realty Growth Report, episode number 8. We are here today with a guy I've known for a while, and we're going to learn more about what he's doing at Realty Growth and the management side and also the sales side. Go ahead and introduce yourself and tell him your journey to get here.
My name is Nate Carty. I've been with Realty Growth for right around 4 years, been in real estate for 5, going on 6.
Nice.
And been kind of doing a lot of the, I guess I've been in real estate my whole life, if you could say, you know, with my dad and my brother. So, yeah. I started in residential real estate.
When was that?
That was 2018, 2017 going into 2018, I got licensed.
Okay.
Started selling residential for about a year and a half. That was pretty good. I liked it, not going to lie.
And at that time, were you doing other business of any sort, or did you have like a part-time job of any sort? Or
I did, yeah. So I was working at Andy's Liquor. I worked there for quite a while, and I loved working there. You know, it was a fun job. It was pretty easy. It was good to learn about all the different types of liquor and all that stuff. And I got to deliver, so I got to go out and meet people and, you know, sales reps and all that stuff. And I got licensed in real estate and still worked there. And then someone told me at my residential office that if I wanted to be successful in real estate, I just had to quit everything and go full in. So I did that, which was probably a mistake at first.
Because there's no more money coming in?
Right, exactly. Yeah, no more money coming in. That kind of scared me. You know, I had rent to pay and bills to pay and stuff. So then I got into commercial roofing too. I did commercial roofing on the side while I was selling residential. I roofed one of your buildings.
What one was that?
The Decent Center.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yep. I remember. That was a hot day.
Yeah.
A couple of hot days.
Yeah. That was one of my last jobs I did, but that was kind of fun. I learned a lot too. So before I got into real estate, I worked in plumbing and HVAC with Tana Mechanical. And then I did trim trees for a long time too. Pretty much all through high school, I'd trim trees.
Which those things that you mentioned, besides the Andy's Liquor, they all relate to property in some way. And I'm sure you've somehow used
exactly
what you've learned.
Yeah, and that's why I felt residential was a good fit for me at first, because I could confidently go into a showing, you know, and tell people, hey, this is what you're looking at. This is what you could look to spend. You know, this is the longevity you could have with it. So I felt that was a good advantage for me as a agent.
So as your career has evolved, you started in residential. What would you say was the conversion that got you into more of the multifamily and some of the investments and some of the other things that you did?
So a big thing right away was residential was so, like, clean cut. You know, it's like you show this person 15 houses and hopefully they buy one, you know. And the whole rental thing was, one, it's residual. You know, it was a steady paycheck at first, and it was fast. You know, it was fun. And then I felt like I already kind of knew it. You know, growing up, my dad had a couple of rentals, so I felt like I already kind of knew that aspect of it, you know, and what they're renting for, what you're owning it for, you know. So that kind of got me a little more interested into it. Dylan called me up and said, yo, come over here, you know, we need you, and I think it'd be good. And
who is Dylan to you?
Dylan's my older brother. So Dylan owns Realty Growth Management.
And he needed help, so he's like, I better call my younger brother to see if he's willing to work for free.
See if he's willing, yeah, willing to work for cheap at first, you know. Yeah. But, no, it turned out really good. I love it. I wouldn't trade it.
How long have you been on the management team since then?
About 4 years. Yeah.
And what would you say has been some eye-opening things you've discovered in the last 4 years of being, because you're now full-time mm-hmm. on the real estate side. So what's been some of those things that have just been taught to you or you've seen and learned and started to understand?
I mean, just the grind, you know, if you want to do it, if you want to make money doing it, you just got to grind. And that was something that I was always good at doing. You know, I'm not afraid of hard work. You know, I love working. I love, you know, making sure I'm busy. You know, I don't like just sitting around. And that was a big thing where it was like very work heavy, you know, and just go, go, go. And mm-hmm. I wasn't afraid of that. So I think once we got in the rhythm of doing that, you know, it made it pretty easy.
And when you say the rhythm, what is that rhythm to you now? How is that day to day? And, you know, you say the grind, and like it to me, I think maybe because I'm in it, I understand it. But for someone that isn't in it, how would you explain that?
I mean, there's so many different day-to-day tasks with the management side of it. But, like, for example, you know, renting apartments, showing apartments, Yesterday was Sunday. I was out showing apartments for like 2.5 hours because it's just something you got to do. You want to get your units filled, you know. You got to show it to them on the weekend if you can. And showing apartments, signing leases, you know, communicating with tenants, maintenance issues, you know, water leaks, all that kind of stuff. And you just have to know how to balance everything and put out fires all day long, pretty much.
On the management side, there definitely are some fires. So let's take this second. Let's see if I hit the right button. Nope, wrong button. Wait. Here's the right button. What are some of those scary management stories?
I would say definitely a big one that I was not prepared for was roaches.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I mean, tell me, like, how do people get these things?
I mean, just dirty tenants.
Really? You know?
And for us, it was properties that we took on, right? That we sold to our client, hadn't, you know, didn't really know what we were walking into. And then you really dive into them and you're like, wow.
And they're not obvious necessarily, are they? Like, are roaches?
Depends how bad it is.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, we don't have, like, I wouldn't say we have that many. But now if we see a tenant that's, you know, pretty dirty, we're like, okay, let's do an inspection, make sure we're good. Because it's one of those things that once they're there, they're hard to get rid of.
And how do you get rid of them?
Treatment after treatment. Spend a lot of money, too.
And it makes me think of, I know at one time, this was probably like 7 years ago, a property that I had got bed bugs, and it was that whole smoke the unit,
yep,
fog it, like, and it was because where's the person going to go for that period of time? And it's not an easy thing to eliminate.
Right. Yeah. I had that happen one time, one apartment, and, you know, they had to get rid of all their stuff and smoke the apartment. But luckily, that's the only time I've ever had that happen. So,
ugh.
But that was a big eye opener because I had one never seen, you know, you always see people talk about roaches or you see it on TV and they make it seem like it's these huge bugs running around. I mean, they're actually pretty little, but it's just the fact that people are that dirty, you know, and that's how it happens, I think.
And they can get everywhere too. So it's like, you got to get it taken care of as quick as possible.
Yeah. So that was one big thing, but luckily we don't have that issue too much anymore.
What's some other management stories that come to mind when you're sitting around with your family at Christmas and they're like, so how's the business? And tell us a story.
I mean, it's a new thing all the time. I feel like it's never ending. You know, a lot of times, like, pets is another one. We generally don't allow pets very much because they destroy things if they don't have the proper owner.
And is that, like, property owner by property owner? When you say you don't, is it up to the property owner that you're managing the properties for that decides it?
Yeah, it is. We kind of give our little, you know, our two cents, like, hey, you shouldn't allow them here. You should allow them here. I mean, I have no problem with pets. I have a dog myself. I used to have cats. But it's the owner that really matters, you know. You never know how that person's going to take care of their pet, and that can wreck your property in the end.
Well, not only that, but I've experienced just the whole barking.
Exactly.
And, like, it might be an okay dog, but once they're not, the homeowner's not at home, then all of a sudden the dog's going nuts and it's bothering everybody there.
Right. Yeah. I was at an apartment just an hour ago. I was upstairs doing some, we were doing some window repair, and the dog downstairs was barking nonstop. I don't even know they had a dog. So that's part of it. That's part of the
surprises.
Something
they just forgot to tell you.
Right. So that's part of the surprises.
Yeah. But how about, helping people get into ownership of properties, what has been some of your experience in doing that, and how has that been as far as your career?
So I think that's definitely excelled on my end of it, mainly because I'm managing them every day. So I'm seeing, you know, what can be successful for this person, you know, what can work, what can't, the kind of rents you can get. And yeah, I mean, it's turned out really good. You know, we have a lot of people who approach us with, hey, you know you can manage it. You know, is this a good deal? And let's find some other ones like this, you know. And, yeah, that's panned out pretty good. I think it helps that once they buy one with us and it's managed good and it's performing good, they're going to continue to buy. So,
and if you had to say, what are three traits that make for a good property owner? Because I'm sure you get to meet by taking over management of properties, by working with people that just cold call, you get to meet all types of different property owners. What are three traits that kind of stand out as?
like three things we look for?
That if you were to say, hey, you're going to buy a property, here's three things you need to, as a property owner, you need to be doing in order to make your job as a property manager easy.
Right.
The experience of the person living there better.
Right.
And then your ownership and what that involves easier.
So I'd say quality of tenants for sure. And like screening of tenants, you know, like be tough on them, you know. And then condition of the property, you know. If you're buying a distressed property, make sure we're fixing it up right and keeping it that way. I mean, a lot of people want to say cash flow, but I mean, over time, you know, we'll make that cash flow happen. So I'd just say, I mean, area of town's a big thing for Rochester too, I'd say, the area of town you're looking in.
One thing that I would talk about too is like what maintenance items have come up that you see people either take care of right away as a property owner or they don't, and maybe that's kind of bit them in the behind because they haven't taken care of it right away. What are some maintenance things they should be looking at?
So a big thing that I see, it's mostly mechanical stuff. I've had a lot of property owners who nickel and dime furnaces and air conditioners and water heaters till the end of them. And at the point that they finally have to replace it, they've already paid for it two times over.
Because they keep patching. They keep putting in parts.
Right.
And the parts aren't cheap either.
Right. That's just the thing. Parts and getting a plumber there to fix it, you know, it's not cheap.
Right.
So, I don't know. That's one thing where when we go into a property, we look at the mechanicals. And I have background in that, so I feel like I can help a little more. And, okay, let's expect we're going to spend this much money on a new furnace and AC next year. Or, you know, electrical, too, is a big one. If we were looking at a house that has old electrical, you know, knob and tube and fuses, you know, that's something that, one, the city doesn't like very much anymore. And, you know, that's going to cause problems for the owner in the near future. So looking at that, too, is definitely a big one.
What has been one of your mistakes that you've made in owning a property? See, I had the right button there.
Yeah, that was a good one. One mistake I have made.
Because let's be clear, you also, and I think this is the cool thing about our career, similar to myself, is like you get into opportunities that you look to buy as well, mm-hmm. to help build up your long-term wealth, to help build up cash flow for yourself, to help get you to where you want to be personally. And so you own properties, and what, you know, that doesn't just automatically come naturally, even though you're in the business. Like, right. It's, again, putting on that owner hat, and it's a different job.
Yep. Yep. So I'll say one mistake I've made in the past is, I guess maybe two. One, renting to friends. And two, not doing my full vetting process of a tenant, you know, not doing the full background check and just kind of relying on he said, she said, and we know he's a good person.
Yep.
Type of thing. So that kind of bit me in the butt once. But other than that, I mean, luckily I've had some pretty good, I've lived in my rental I owned up until last September. It was a duplex. I lived in half of it.
What's the advantage of living in a duplex?
Cash flow. I mean, I live for free pretty much, you know, people call it like house hacking.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So I lived in half of it and rented the other half out. And I actually had a couple buddies that lived in the other half. I didn't know them when they moved in, but they became buddies and they're great tenants. I think they're still living there.
Nice. So
I sold the property now, but yeah.
What was one of the disadvantages of living in a duplex?
Freedom, I think, you know, like just the thought of, okay, like, you know, I can hear them or they can hear me. Just living and sharing spaces, you know, sharing the yard, you know, parking, all that kind of stuff, sharing the trash, different things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I lived in a, it wasn't, well, I've lived in a lot of places, but I once did room rentals, and if I was gone and at work, things were great. But if I'm at home, it's like, there's always something going on, you know, and I had three different people living there at one point in time. And yeah, so that freedom of just being like, this is my home, this is where I come to rest, this is where I come to recharge.
Right.
When you have that situation, even in a duplex where there's a wall in between you,
right.
It's even less when you're doing room rentals. It's, I can see where you're coming from on that.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine doing that because I would sit there, like you said, at home all day, and I'd be like, oh, that bothers me. You know, that bothers me. Yeah. You know,
and that never feels like quite home.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
As you look to the Rochester market and beyond and where we sit today. What are some things that excite you about this business? What are some things you're just wondering what could actually unfold with where we're at in the market? What are you seeing?
I mean, growth, honestly. Interest rates are on the rise a little bit, but I think that's going to play a big factor in prices too. And there's a lot of people out there that are going to want to keep going, I think, myself included. And I think that, you know, people are saying the crash is coming, but people like us, you know, we just got to prepare for that. Sometimes that can be good for property owners.
Do you think when you say the crash is coming, do you think it's actually going to hit Rochester, or what's your feeling on that?
I don't know, actually. I think Rochester's a little bit in a bubble. You know, we have a stabilized market here, and I feel like we always have. So I think Rochester will be a little safer, and that's why I think if people are reaching out to keep investing, I mean, Rochester is a place to go, you know.
It makes me think of the people we've seen invest outside of Rochester that come here, and I think they see that as well. One person explained it to me as like a defensive market. It's a market where if they go into, they're defending their money because it's not as volatile as a market like a up and down. I'll just use the example of a Nashville or a Minneapolis or a big metro that could see bigger swings.
Right, right. Yeah, I have a client who he called me randomly one day. He lives in I think New Jersey, and wants to buy real estate in Rochester, Minnesota. And I'm like, you ever been here before? He's like, no, I haven't. But I've heard it's good. And I'm like, well, it is, yeah. He bought his first one. It's doing good.
Really?
Yeah.
Did he actually come here to see it?
He did not.
He did it sight unseen.
Yeah. And he actually didn't buy the property through me. He had it under contract and then contacted me. And now I've been sending him deals left and right. He looks at everything. I mean, he understands what's going on here. I think he's had family that's been here before for the clinic and everything. But he's never been here.
Hmm.
And he just knows it's a good market, knows that what he's doing, and so it's better than New Jersey, so I'm going to keep going over there if I can.
Wow.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting.
You know, that also brings me to the thought of we being, like myself, born and raised here, and you see where prices are. I have a difficult time making things work as far as when I look at them, and I don't even get excited in talking about them, but then you get somebody that comes from a different market, and they compare it to what they're used to, and they have the ability to just invest easier because they don't have that barrier of what it was and why are things so high and
right.
Those limiting beliefs that really do stop you from making right. Your own personal investment.
Yeah, it's like a whole different ball game.
Yeah,
I've been kind of doing that too. I've been researching other markets around the country recently. I'm infatuated with car washes right now.
I know a guy that owns one in Mankato if you ever want to talk to him.
I really want to buy a car wash.
All right. Why?
I don't know. I love car. I use them all the time, so I think that's part of it. I'm yep. always there, so I see how they could run better or run differently, I think. And I don't know. I've just been infatuated with car washes.
All right.
I found a couple down south that are a good deal, but that's one thing, too, where that's kind of business. You got to be there, I feel like.
Yeah.
So
Matt and I, we were talking about what business don't you have to be at, and I think ownership of real estate is definitely one you don't have to be at day-to-day.
Yep.
And then he had brought up storage units, which again, it's that ownership of, and then he brought up car washes, and I was like, I don't know, car washes, you got to check in on, you got to make sure the machines are working. There's a lot of moving parts that, yes, you may not have to be there from a 9 to 5, that's for sure, but right. There's going to be the weekly check-ins.
Right.
Right. I mean, if more.
Or if you're buying, you know, if you're buying something like that on a different market, having somebody you trust to go there and check it and mm-hmm. collect coins, you know, things like that.
Mm-hmm. The one I sold in Mankato, the gentleman that bought it, he lives, I think, in the cities area, so he does have somebody locally that does check on it, but then I think I haven't talked to him much more of the day-to-day since he's bought it, but I do think he also checks on it himself. Mm-hmm. One thing that was unique about this car wash is it was in a strip mall that was condoed out, so he owned a portion of this strip mall, basically.
Yep.
And when we were there doing our due diligence, a motorcycle pulled up and goes into the car wash, which it's all manual. And they had, I'm going to draw a blank on what it is. They had a little vacuum, I think, that you could one vacuum right there. Will also, after you got done washing it. Oh, that was it. They had a hand dryer. So after you got done washing your bike, you could take the hand dryer and blow it everywhere.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah. So it got used heavily, previous owner had said, by motorcycles for that reason. Now, which brings me to, I've floated other car washes to him, but I think he's happy with one. There's one that I know is bank owned that I'll have to get you the details on. And I came across it because I was traveling all over Southeast Minnesota for a client trying to find land. And it's like, hey, that car wash is vacant. And I contacted the bank and they sent me some details on it. Now it's been probably 2 months, but I'll send it to you. Yeah. I'm sure the equipment's all junk.
Right, junk.
It's like, why is it failed? But it would seem like a decent location on a decent road. I feel like the biggest competition you have is these darn, you know, Mr. Car Washes and Tommy's Express and the other ones would be Quick Trip. And so that's like in Rochester, I feel like we have a lot of them. So you're better being the manual one where you hand wash because it's a different customer or different clientele.
And that's what I want. I like the manual ones. I've heard horror stories of the automatic ones. So I don't even use automatic car. I mean, I go to the Quick Trip one once in a while because it's touchless.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, I like hand washing my cars. I've done that forever.
Hmm.
A Snapchat actually came up on my phone this morning of 2 years ago today. I was hand washing my old red Audi I had. And I just was like, yep. And I was there yesterday hand washing my truck and shoving all them quarters in there. And I'm like, yeah, I need one of these.
I want one of these.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Another person I had heard about that owned a car wash. Now, this was in a smaller town like Spring Valley or something. And the difficulty there is people would come in and just wash the dirtiest stuff, like manure, and like they just got done deer hunting and there's blood everywhere. And like, so that's like, again,
it's give and take.
Yeah. Just like owning properties. Like, it's great when it's great. It's not so great when you get that phone call at midnight. And,
it's all plugged up with mud and manure. Yep.
All right. So if Nate, people wanted to reach out to you, where can they go? How can they get to know you? Where are you at online?
Facebook, Instagram at Nate Cardi. Our business page is Realty Growth Management at Facebook and Instagram. And
great. Thanks so much. Thanks for joining in on the podcast.
Yeah, thanks, Bucky. I appreciate it.
First of many to come.
Definitely.